Hello, I'm Philip Stoughton. I'm on the Ko Young booth at Apex 2024, and I'm joined by Teresa Huber from Intervalla. Teresa, great to see you again. Last time we met, it was at your very impressive factory. I really enjoyed that. I just really wanted to update on where we've been in that last 6, 7, 8 months since we last spoke. It's been an interesting time economically. It remains interesting. We're in an election year, so lots of change. What are you seeing in terms of demand from your customers? Is there a softening, or you've been growing for some substantial time. Is it still moving forward in the right direction?
It is, yeah. We're not seeing really any substantial softening from our customers, but I think that's because the markets they serve are somewhat insulated from, you know, say the standard economic impacts. We do have a sizable amount of defense business, medical business, and very high-end industrial business, and really none of that is impacted by the economic factors.
Yeah. So when we look at global geopolitics, one of the things that has as an element of it is unrest in the world, and that is actually, you know, obviously creating demand for defense business. That seems very sustainable at the moment. But it's also creating an environment where people are thinking more about where they actually have products manufactured. What are your customers telling you in terms of that? Is it that they're maybe returning stuff from overseas, or are they just not shifting it over there as quickly as perhaps they used to in terms of volumes?
Yeah, I think both, I would say. And I think there's certainly still an aversion to China in a lot of the work that we're doing. People are maybe a little more open to some of the other, offshore options out there. But I think still an aversion to China. You know, most of the work that we do really isn't appropriate for offshore. Mm-hmm. And so we're seeing, you know, more and more opportunities for folks that don't want to be reliant on a very long supply chain and some potential geopolitical risk there.
Yeah. And speaking of supply chain was a big issue when we talked 6, 9 months ago. Everybody had got too much inventory. Some of that inventory bubble has perhaps moved through and reduced, and the supply chain's easing a little bit. What are you seeing in terms of that settling down?
Yeah, I mean, overall, it's easing. I think I would support that statement. But there are still a number of unique components that are constrained. Inventories are coming down. You know, we're able to manage through that. But especially unique semiconductors, different microprocessors are still very constrained, and it just takes one of those, and then, you've got a problem.
Yeah. Shortage of parts is one thing. Shortage of labor is something that people are concerned about as well, particularly in the U.S., where we're seeing growth, and that growth is at risk if we can't recruit talent. What do you see in your region, and how are you combating that talent issue?
Right. Everyone struggles a bit with talent. Our team, we have an internal recruiting team of, 4 or 5 full-time people, and all they do is basically recruit. They've been pretty successful through some creative, strategies to get us talent. We continue to try to recruit the best people and retain them. We also have poured a ton of resources into internal training programs. So we're going to hire folks, especially for direct labor jobs that maybe don't have any specific, machine operation experience or anything in the industry. And we're developing our own internal training programs for them, as well as technicians to be able to really, troubleshoot, do testing, things like that. So all of those programs are being developed, some in conjunction with a local university.
Yeah, and do they come out with some level of qualification from the work they're doing with you?
They do, yeah. So they can be kind of certified, if you will, more of an internal certification. And then we're working on an option with the university that they could actually become degreed as a result of that as well.
Okay, that's really interesting. And we talked a little bit off camera about maybe widening the pool of recruits and thinking about diversity in the workforce. Tell me what your strategy is relating for that. I know you've got some programs in place already.
We do. We do a lot of work, again, with the local educational institutions, trying to encourage especially more women to enroll in STEM type, majors in college or get involved in manufacturing, get involved in engineering, things like that. So that's kind of a major push for us, is to try to partner with organizations that can help move that forward. We also have something going at our Pennsylvania plant that allows folks that are on the spectrum to be able to come into our facility and do kind of hands-on work for us on products to be able to deploy their skills in a way that's helpful for us as well.
Yeah, it's really interesting to have a workforce that actually reflects the consumer base as well. So, you're bringing in all of that diversity and presenting them with opportunities. One of the things that I've found with the recruiting process, particularly with students, is they have a perception of what manufacturing looks like. Right. When you get them in the factory, there's a bit of a eureka moment because it's actually a much more pleasant environment than they expected and actually more interesting for them. Are you able to get students to come through and look at the state-of-the-art factories that you have?
Yeah, we do a lot of that, absolutely. Because when they come in, you're right, their perception of manufacturing still, I think, dates back to the ages when it was dirty and hot and, you know, all those things. And, yeah. You know, our factories are none of that anymore. So there are, again, a lot of programs that we partner with other organizations with. There's one local in Pennsylvania that does something called What's Cool About Manufacturing. Mm-hmm. They partner with middle schools. We do that every single year. We get another group in. They make a video. It's out there. It's published. And then they can spread that around to their friends and say, hey, it's actually really cool. Go see what they do.
Yeah. And when you look at, last question, when you look at an election year, obviously there's a little bit of a, I don't know, it's almost like a lot of things get put on hold for election year because it seems to take so long. Are there concerns there? Is there anything there that concerns you? Or is it like business as usual and we'll deal with whatever comes down the pike?
Yeah, I think we take more of a business as usual approach. I don't think that will influence, our business tremendously. You know, the defense piece of our business, right? I mean, sometimes that's, viewed as up in the air depending on who wins, the election, which party. But what we're seeing with the conflicts in the world is there's a need for the products that we're manufacturing to support, our troops. And so I don't expect that to change.
No, I think that remains fairly consistent. And the other thing that seems consistent in the industry is there's always a disruption, whether it's supply chain, whether it's something else, and you've got to be agile enough to deal with it.
That's right. That's what we do best.
Absolutely. Teresa, thanks for your time. Pleasure
thanks.
To talk to you.
And always, Philip.
Look forward to seeing you next time.
All right.